It feels very, very weird.
Yes, it does. This is the Mr. Nobody podcast.
Can we play that?
Sure. This is episode 27. Halfway through season 2. I wanted to share a conversation I had.
What else did your mom tell you never to do?
Never to swine.
Wine?
Licorice. Are you allowed to do licorice?
Licorice? You mean liquor?
Licorice.
Licorice is just candy. Mm-hmm. It's not gonna kill you. I don't think. Unless you choke on it.
Yeah, probably. Wait, what kind of picture is it with your son?
Of my son?
When did he die? Which year?
My son died 2 years before your dad died.
2 years?
2 years. Do you know how long 2 years is? You're little. You probably don't know.
2017.
Yeah. He died in 2017. I miss him a lot. Do you miss your dad?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
My dad died on 2019.
I was with him a lot when he was sick.
Is he your friend?
Yes.
Can I feel your beard?
Yeah.
Like,
you know, touch me right here. I have dog jaw. Just touch this right here. It's dog jaw. Woof! Ah, gotcha. How are you feeling about your dad? What is that sad? Yeah.
You were crying too.
I guess I was. Yeah.
I wasn't. Because growing up, I'm not a grown-up, so that doesn't matter.
That was very intense, being in the hospital. I did feel that your dad was at peace when it was over, though.
It feels very, very weird.
Yeah, you can play now.
No, you said we can play monsters.
You want me to be a monster?
No, you be the monster.
I am a monster.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 1, 3.
I've had it.
You be the monster. You be the monster. Just a small conversation with a couple of kids. A couple of kids I'm honored to know. Kids are the future us, the future people. What I mean by that is, like, you know how we think of ourselves as the only ones that ever existed. Or at least I think of myself that way. I'm a fractal of everyone who's ever existed. And the people that I know or meet are all fractals. Pieces of one master crystal. And that we've always been here. I'm sure I'm totally wrong, but I just feel that way. But the kids are the next, they're the next ones that get a crack. Get a crack at it. and get a crack at it. They like being pursued like I'm a monster. They like being hunted. It thrills them to feel that they're surviving. That they're surviving. Like when I catch them and I pop the brains out of their heads or give them an electric shock with my fingertips or throw them over a fence, of course, all metaphorically, they squeal with glee. Most of the time, they seem thrilled to be able to survive. That monsters exist. But they can outsmart them. They can strategize. And they also like to get close to the edge. If the monster is too far away, they don't feel the danger. They don't feel the danger the way they want to. They want to feel the danger is imminent. Naturally, we're playing. Naturally, we're playing. Playing is a type of mock reality. Unless it's more than that. Is it possible that play is the real reason we're supposed to be here? Because you can survive play. You can learn from it deep in yourself. Create entire industries around it. Like playing the guitar.
The guitar.
These days when I work in my jiu-jitsu environment, I'm working with people that haven't really ever done it before, and I'm not an expert. I have a blue belt. But I've been at it for a few years, and it's given me this chance to
get better.
I always tell my training partner, this isn't a real fight. We're just playing. And let the monster chase us. It's a way to safely get closer to the monster.
A little closer.
And the danger has to be imminent. It needs to feel real. But it still has to be play. I'm so grateful for that. I don't think I could have survived my son's death without jiu-jitsu. My teachers. So beautiful. I don't think I could have survived emotionally. There's something about grappling, I suppose. My teacher is still out there somewhere, but I've had to find a new home base. Let's play. Let's play.
Let's play.
And get better. Help each other get better. I'm so grateful to have this
experience
with these kids.
It's
like I'm borrowing them. And it's reminding me of the beautiful time I had with my daughter and my son
and my son.
And since they lost their father, there's this father-shaped hole. There's a space, a void. I didn't think I could step into it at first. But now I know I can.
It feels very, very weird.
It's weird to love children again. Because you have to know them. They have to know you. They have to trust. Feel safe. And I always ask them, like, tell me about you. Tell me about you. Who's your best friend? What's happened recently that is on your mind? And they blab intensely, but for short periods of time, they'll tell me about some conflict in school or some dog, something they saw, tasted. They like food. And what they have to say is important to me. It's actually important to the universe. Whether or not I heard it or not, it's important to the universe. Because it's going to create an aggregate personality, a fractal, just like I am and you are, a piece we aggregated through our positive and negative experiences. We made decisions about ourselves. We made choices. People died in our lives.
We died.
These kids lost their father. And I know they don't get to talk about it a lot. So I showed them a picture of my son. Here he is. How did he die? He died from using drugs. He died from using drugs. I had to tell them. Because they asked. And it's the truth. That doesn't really tell them who he was. How beautiful. It just tells them that's why he isn't anymore.
It feels very, very weird.
Tell me about it. I think they know that their father drank himself to death.
Can we play that?
Because they mentioned it. They allude. But they're busy playing. They don't think about breathing. Exploring life. They like to climb on rocks. We went to 4 playgrounds the other day. Bought popsicles. Riding on my back. Finally got on the swings. These kids kick some adults off the swings. That was fun. But then this other thing happened. Something frightening. I took them over to the reservoir. The very same reservoir that I ran around with my own son.
With my own son.
I can still see his face right now, looking at me. We were trying to get Charlie Christian to play on my iPhone so that we could both hear it. We managed at the very end. Charlie Christian also died. Same age as my son. What an amazing impact he had. But anyway, we went to the reservoir, saw some ducks. I had a hoodie on. And then as we were walking away, I had a hoodie on, which obstructed some of my peripheral vision. And I knew the little boy was next to me, and I just assumed the little girl was right next to me, right behind him, because that's how it always was. Was right next to me. How it always is. You know, she's right there, I have their hands, but I don't try to control their peregrinations. I like them to be able to run around, but close. But what ran through my mind is that I'm going to walk. And I know she's here, and
I had to get them home.
I had to get them home. And I crossed the promenade.
Is that a word?
And I looked at the boy. And then I looked at the girl. And she was gone. She just was not there. And I felt the fear of the monster.
Terror.
Overtake me. Awaken me from a delirium. Because I had the boy. But not his twin sister. Give me your hand. He could smell my fear. We quickly retraced our steps back to the reservoir, frantically looking left, right, out, down. Anywhere there was space, we looked. I had to make a decision to shout out her name in public. And that's what I did. A strong yell. I was afraid. Because I know what people are really like. Some people, they are monsters. They're evil. Some people are evil. They're predators. They just use other people as food, devices, objects. And knowing what humans are like, what we're all like, I used all my instincts.
I came alive.
How far could she have gotten?
It feels very, very weird.
Yeah, it was very weird. How far could she have gotten? What direction would she have gone? She's not by the water. She's not on the path. Not now. She's gotta be that way. That's the only way. And I look, and 100 feet away, which is way too far, is the little girl talking to a couple of people
who used to be children.
And I hustled down to her, and I heard them say to her, What's your name?
They already knew her name.
And they said her name.
They were kind.
And she was looking around like a little lost creature for me and her brother. Now I'm responsible for that little girl. If I'm out
on a play date,
she said she started following this couple because the man looked like me. I ran up to her, scooped her up in my arms, and I said thank you to the couple because I knew they were fucking cool. They were like, little girl on her own, this isn't right. And maybe she was out of my sights for 2 minutes, but that is two minutes too long of terror, of reality. It's not a game.
We're not playing.
This was a little bit of a nightmare. 3 playgrounds and a swing set. And then I couldn't find her.
You'd be the monster.
Where did you go? She said she wanted water from a water fountain, which is what we were doing over by the reservoir.
Using the water fountain.
But she decided to go a different way. And sometimes she does go off.
Hey, monster!
It's part of her personality. But I was wrong to assume that she was right next to me. She either is or isn't. And all it takes is one moment of assuming the wrong thing. And the predator finds an opportunity. A few minutes later, I would have that conversation. When we got to the 4th and final playground of our afternoon. A couple of days before their father died, he was incapacitated, a prisoner in his body. And the only thing that worked was one eye. And he woke up from his fentanyl
delirium,
and saw us all there saying goodbye to him. and he started heaving. His body could barely move because it was not moving anymore. And this huge tear gathered in his eye. And he had been in denial. But he fucking knew, right there, that this was no longer a game. We were no longer playing. And I put my hand on his heart and I said, I swear. I swear to you. I will take care of your children. I looked into him like I have never looked into anyone. There are strangers on the beach. Something interrupts your private world. Your best stones are out of reach. Crying, you hear your manna crying. Something distant in the sky. You hear voices say what's lost is found. You hear your baby start to cry. You hear your manna crying. You hear your manna crying. Mr. Nobody, out.